Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And boy, was a lot of it made. And I'm going to get right to the state Supreme Court race. A lot of developments happened in the last 24 hours. A lot of developments happened. Remember something. The primary is 4 weeks or 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today, February 21. 3 weeks from today. It's coming on us. 3 weeks from today. Be sure to vote. There are four candidates, as you know. The two really right-wing Republicans, and then the two others, Janet Protasiewicz and the Honorable Reverend Mitchell. Talked about them a lot. I'll talk about them some more. Tell you what, Janet Protasiewicz will be the strongest candidate for Supreme Court in my recent memory. She's terrific. But let me tell you what the developments are, and they're extraordinary. The Republican Party is starting to split apart. There were recriminations. This isn't an article that just came out in Urban Milwaukee, which is a great, great investigative journalist piece. Go online and look at Urban Milwaukee and Murphy's Law. Bruce Murphy, one of the great investigative reporters in the state, came up with this after some research. The Republican Party is fighting within itself. Mark Belling, probably the most influential, highly conservative, I'd say right-wing radio journalist in the state, has attacked Daniel Kelly. Daniel Kelly attacked him. And I got to tell you something. I served on a panel of two Democrats, two Republicans. I was one of the Democrats on Mark Belling's TV show over a number of years. And I will say you this about Belling. He is very conservative. Started out as a Democrat, believe it or not. But I think he became a neoconservative in the influence of Ronald Reagan, and then he became more of a traditional conservative. However, he calls it like he sees it. He has his values and opinions. And if a Republican transgresses, he calls him out. He doesn't just mollycoddle the Republican Party. And that's what he did now with Dan Kelly. Let me tell you some of the things he said. This is Mark Belling saying that Kelly, quote, and this is what Mark Belling said. Kelly, Dan Kelly is only running for revenge because he lost last time. He should drop out of the race. Mark Belling said that. Apparently, Scott Walker, who had been supporting him, he has a son, Alex. Alex Walker was Dan Kelly's campaign manager. He quit. According to Belling, he quit. He said there are no volunteers or very few volunteers in the campaign. There's no enthusiasm. They're going through the motions. When they turned in signatures, they were only a few hundred over the max. Let me tell you something. I run statewide. You can put in double the max. So if the max are 1,000, you put in 2,000. Just to make sure that there aren't some that somehow slip through the cracks and are legitimate, to put only a few hundred over the minimum is potential suicide, but that's all that he could get out of his volunteers. And then he said that Doro's campaign, Jennifer Doro, the judge from Waukesha, is organic, enthusiastic, more like DeSantis. He said, this is Belling, Mark Belling, said that Kelly is more like Trump, just out for revenge. Now, he's right about Kelly. He's wrong about Doro. There were two segments today on Civic Media that you've got to listen to. Go on the podcast. One of them is Earl Ingram here out of the Waukesha station. And the other one was Todd Alba out of Richland Center. They're both terrific, terrific, terrific reporters, terrific hosts of radio. Todd Alba, I appeared on that show and we talked extensively in the first hour about this race. And then Earl Ingram scored a real coup. He interviewed the mother of Cade Reddington. Cade Reddington was a young UWM student who took a fentanyl pill by accident. He didn't know it was fentanyl and died. flat out died. Was he 19 years old, 20 years old? Flat out died. Turns out that Jennifer Doro's son is being investigated by the police. It also turns out that a couple of the dead guy's friends, Cade Reddington's friends, said that Doro's son, Michael Doro, had shown them a text from his mother, who's a Supreme Court candidate, Jennifer Doro, saying, "Are you still dealing drugs to her own son?" Apparently, they're not cooperating with the police, hired counsel for their son. And when the father of the dead boy confronted Jennifer Doro at a restaurant in Madison, she simply turned her back and walked away. Look, it's a sad thing when something like that happens in a family. But you know something? We're talking running for the Supreme Court. We're talking running for the Supreme Court. Well, Belling's attacks on Kelly didn't go over well because Rebecca Bradley on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and Shelley Grogan on the Waukesha Court of Appeals attacked Kelly in return and attacked Belling. One of them attacked Belling. You know, there's an old saying in journalism, do not attack somebody who buys ink by the barrel and paper by the yard, meaning newspapers in the old days. But here's another one now. It's very unwise to attack journalists, any journalist. I've been very lucky over the years. I've got very good press, but sometimes I haven't gotten good press. And I take it in stride. Journalists have a tough job. When you attack a journalist, you're making a big mistake. And Rebecca Bradley attacking Mark Belling is a foolish thing to do. It's not justified. And remember, there are two Bradleys on the Supreme Court. One is Rebecca Bradley. She's the Republican, a Trumper, right-winger, voted not to certify Joe Biden, even though he won the election. The other one is Ann Walsh Bradley. Ann Walsh Bradley is very, very fine justice. So don't confuse the two. I'm talking about Rebecca Bradley. Rebecca Bradley. And Rebecca Bradley and this Grogan, who was elected to the Court of Appeals in Waukesha on very, very thin credentials, said that Kelly is unfit to serve. And, you know, Belling said Kelly should get out of the race. And Bradley and Grogan, and I may have misspoken on that, when they support Kelly, they attack Doro. They say Doro is unfit to serve. And that when she went to the debate, she just sat there with binders and read what had been written out for her. Well, they're both right in one sense by attacking the other one. Kelly should get out of the race. He does have no enthusiasm. He has few volunteers. And he's a political hack who is trying to get revenge. On the other hand, Belling is right about all of that. But Bradley and Grogan are right, frankly, about Doro, that she should get out of the race. She's unfit to serve. And that she's studied. She just reads these binders. She just reads these binders. Now, this fight in the Republican Party isn't confined to Wisconsin. The fight is not confined to Wisconsin. In Pennsylvania, there was a county fair, and there were three competing Republican factions who got in a fight, a physical fight. You had the Trumpers, you had the establishment, and then you had beyond the Trumpers, sort of the QAnon types. And they duked it out. And my favorite, Nevada, the Trumpers and the establishment. The establishment has the state chairmanship, a woman, and the Trumpers attacked her. The Trumpers attacked her and called her, quote, an alcoholic and a panty dropper after two shots, end quote. Now, that's not the kind of thing anyone wants to hear, and it's not the kind of thing you normally say about a state chairwoman, okay? So what's going to happen, in my view, is when the presidential primaries come around, I do not see, if Trump gets the nomination, the DeSantis people helping him, and I don't see the Trump people helping a DeSantis type. But what's happening here in Wisconsin is you have Rebecca Bradley and Shelley Grogan attacking Mark Belling, and then you have Belling, in effect, attacking Kelly, and I don't know what he's going to do with Bradley's attacks on him. And Bradley and Grogan, of course, attacking Jennifer Doro. So there you have it. And the other thing that occurred, and this is just breaking as well, the Republican Party always files complaints against any Democratic candidate. That's part of their MO. So they have just filed a complaint against Janet Protasiewicz, who is the most absolutely the most competent and the most experienced of the crowd. And you know what they went after her for? Because she said she was pro-choice. And they said a judge shouldn't signal how they'd rule. Well, they all say they're pro-life and get endorsed by various people, but they're, what, filing a complaint against her because she's pro-choice? Give me a break. And let me tell you something. Even if you are pro-life, which I respect, you don't want the 1849 statute that's 174 years old that women couldn't vote on. Get a new statute. So this dog won't hunt. This dog won't hunt. Then they said that she tipped how she would vote because she doesn't like gerrymandering. Neither do I, and neither would Thomas Jefferson, neither would Benjamin Franklin, neither would Madison or any of the framers of the Constitution. Then she said, Janet Protasiewicz, the Act 10 is unconstitutional. It is. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that. And they said, oh, well, as a judge, she shouldn't signal how she's going to feel about things. Well, you think Kelly has signaled how he feels about things? Endorsed by candidates who wouldn't certify Joe Biden? You think that Doro hasn't signaled things? Hasn't signaled things? This is a joke. The Republican Party is a joke. And now they're fighting among themselves like they do in Nevada, like they do in Pennsylvania. And it's coming to Wisconsin. It's going to come in spades. The party's splitting up. You do not have a brawl physically among three factions in Pennsylvania. You do not have the Trumpers call the state chairwoman of Nevada an alcoholic and a panty dropper after two shots. And you do not have a Supreme Court justice here, Bradley, Rebecca Bradley, attacking Mark Belling, for Pete's sake, and attacking Jennifer Doro. And then at the same time, you have Belling attacking Kelly. This is getting out of hand. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. The gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and starts. Welcome back. Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Jean?
Thank you so much, Matt, for all of the information. You know, thank you for bringing us up about this complaint file, because this is a Republican MO. They use frivolous complaints. They state their lies in the complaint, knowing full well that all press will report on this complaint. And they will discuss whether this is a lie, whether this is frivolous, but it gets out for free. And I hope that somebody with the means who are legally talented will start putting in complaints on these judges running, or some kind of a response, because otherwise this gets out all over the airwaves that there's a complaint against what this judge did, and nobody discusses why this is frivolous and why this is a lie. So thank you so much. I hope somebody out there will address this that has the means and the wherewithal to address this, because that's what they do. They do this in elections, and every single little newspaper, every single small TV station, oh, there was a complaint filed. This was filed with the government. Or lawsuits. They use it with lawsuits, too, because then and no follow-up is done, but it's out there on the airwaves. So thank you so much, Matt, for bringing this up, because I hope somebody addresses it, because there's plenty of times people with a D after their name could have brought up lots of complaints that were never filed or never given to the press. So thanks a lot, Matt. But this
all right. Thank you, Jane. I always enjoy your calls. And let me tell you something. Jean is correct. And let me tell you We never do this. The Republicans always put in a fraudulent complaint just so the word complaint comes in the various dailies and weeklies around the state. If anybody's listening to me in the Democratic Party out there, you used to. Well, let me give you some advice. Where's the complaint against Jennifer Doro? If the position were reversed, the Republicans would have put in a complaint against Jennifer Doro if she were a Democrat, saying that did she know about her son's drug dealing a month before this poor kid, Cade Reddington, died? Number two, what information can she give on the origin of the fentanyl? You know, we're not talking about Percocet. We're not talking about sleeping pills. But what happens out there, if anybody hasn't been following the news, is that they lace it with fentanyl. It doesn't say fentanyl. Fentanyl gets smuggled over, and fentanyl can kill. One pill can kill, and it does kill. It does kill. Jennifer Doro should come forth and say what she knows about the origin of the fentanyl. That is what a Republican would do, but we don't do that. I don't know why. And then with this other guy, this Kelly, why don't you just turn around what they said about Janet Protasiewicz? And Janet Protasiewicz, unlike Kelly, was a prosecutor, and for more than 20 years, one of the best. And unlike him, was an elected judge for a couple of terms. He was appointed by Walker. He was appointed by Walker and couldn't hold the seat because every time anybody looked at him, they got the willies and they ran the other way, okay? Well, with this guy, how about this for a complaint? Take everything that was said. Janet Protasiewicz says she's pro-choice, okay? You say you're pro-life. If it's wrong for her to say that, why isn't it wrong for you? And I'm not making a normative judgment about anything here. In other words, people have a right to who they are, to their position, to their values. Number two, she said that she felt that Act 10 was unconstitutional. You've said many times you think it is constitutional. Why is it wrong for you, either one of you, to say anything? Number three, she said that the gerrymandering is unconstitutional. You have said gerrymandering is constitutional. Give me a break. You're going to pull a BS thing like this? Do the same thing, hit the one on the fentanyl and the other one on, apparently nobody likes his campaign, no enthusiasm, as dead as a doornail. But I'll tell you what, Gina Beauclair is exactly right. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, we have a little time before the break. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for taking my call. And Jeannie from Eau Claire is always very informative. I just want to say that you have three current Wisconsin Supreme Court justices that are election deniers. They tried to throw Wisconsin's votes out. That's bad enough in itself. They're also down for gerrymandering. There's four of them that are down for that. So, for goodness sakes here, and this Supreme Court justice campaign, you haven't seen the beginning of this. You get $30 million flying around. So, you know, does it get any worse, Matt, than being an election denier and sitting on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, not caring about rigged elections? I mean, come on, give me a break here. And the gerrymandering is just god-awful. So I just wanted to throw that in the mix. Thanks, Matt. Bye.
Yeah, excellent comments. No, you're absolutely right. Three of the justices, the one that's not running and vacated her seat now, was one of them, said that Biden didn't win the race, that the Republican did, and they gave no reason for it. They didn't give any reason for it at all. They just said, we're going to pick who we want. They shouldn't be on the Supreme Court. Nobody should be on the Supreme Court who does that kind of stuff. Period, end of story. And I'll tell you what, Janet Protasiewicz said, I'm not going to do that. We're going to enforce the law. And they filed a complaint against her, the Republicans, because what? They wanted to say she likes gerrymandering? These people are getting away with murder. I'm tired of it. And I think that Wisco Paul is correct. I think that there will be $30 million coming in. The prior record was $18 million for the Illinois Supreme Court. And this is going to go north of that. And this character, Uline out of Illinois, has a lot of money, billionaire. Going to pour it in, and you're going to see ads and trying to convince you that gerrymandering is good. and that the 1849 statue is good. Don't fall for it. Do not fall for it. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk about Ukraine. There's a genocide going on, and I am going to keep talking about it as long as Putin, the Hitler wannabe, as Jake of Eureka, California called him, I thought it was a good phrase, Hitler wannabe, continues his sadistic genocidal ways. Here's the update. Here's the update. Zelensky, President Zelensky of Ukraine, just announced that Russia is starting what he has termed a big revenge campaign, because Ukraine has held out so long, despite all of the sadism and all the genocide, that they are going to do anything they can to simply obliterate Ukraine. And they've lost well over 100,000 men. The Ruskies, maybe closer to 200,000, they don't care. They go to prisons, mental hospitals, the homeless, kidnap people off the street, just empty out whole villages and send them down there. Just revealed that the Wagner Group, which is like the Waffen-SS, sadists, mercenaries. I told you that initially, when anybody was afraid of battle and tried to desert, they castrated a guy. They flat out castrated him. Now what they're doing is just shooting them. The guy looks like he's a little wobbly. They haul him out and shoot him in front of the new recruits. Then they attack. The Ukrainians are expert fighters, and they kill dozens, hundreds, thousands. Doesn't matter if a couple get through. Here's what Russia's doing. Russia, through tremendous self-hatred, they haven't accomplished anything since the 19th century. Their hatred of Ukraine is really self-directed, because they've accomplished nothing. Ukraine has prospered as a European-style country, going after them. Now, what should we do about this right now? And I've said this before, but Zelensky has made the plea again, and it's essential, and I'm going to say it right now. We must get them F-15 combat airplanes. We must do it. We haven't given them any aircraft. We haven't enforced or even suggested a no-fly zone. So what's happening is the Ruskies are destroying Ukraine, their infrastructure, their business, their ability to make a living, their ports. They can't export anything. Not only that, say you want to start a clothing store in Kyiv. You want to start a bookstore. Who's going to come? No customers, because the streets get bombed. The store gets bombed. If you're a farmer, they have submachine guns with them as they plow the fields, and they get bombed. They are simply trying to exterminate a nation of 45 million people. We cannot stand by and watch a country subject to this genocide. We cannot do it. And we are most fortunate that the Ukrainians are as brave and strong and advanced as they are. One good thing I liked to see is that a lot of the equipment we've given them is very high tech. And what they will do in the middle of combat, in the middle of the field, if they have a service problem, the thing breaks down, they zoom in, and we have technicians in Europe that they communicate with to how to repair this equipment. We must give them F-15s. Right now, no Russian churches are being bombed. No Russian apartments buildings are being bombed. No Russian women are being raped. And I'm glad about that. That's wrong. But Ukrainian women are being raped. Ukrainian churches are being bombed, and Ukrainian apartment buildings are being bombed. And until you can take the war to Russia, they will continue, because Vladimir Putin understands that if he stops this war for any reason, he'll be assassinated by people who want his action. He won't meet with anybody. He's locked up. He doesn't want a polonium handshake. Somebody coming in, shaking his hand or getting close, tossing a little polonium on him, which would kill him. the poison. Doesn't want to be shot or knifed. He only lets a few bodyguards whom he trusts around him. He's an animal, sadist. Everybody's afraid, of course. They don't want him to start a nuclear war. He's not going to start a nuclear war. We've already armed them for 12 months, and they've killed, what, over 100,000 Ruskies, humiliated them. F-15s, Joe Biden, get them to him right now. And the HIMARS, you've given them 50-mile HIMARS. They're terrific. They're terrific. They've killed a lot of people. Get him the 180-mile HIMARS, Joe. Get him now. There are 70,000 Ruskies poised in Crimea to attack Ukraine. Crimea is part of Ukraine. But because the Ruskies took it over in 2014, they are using it as a staging base. They have to be killed. They have to be killed. You have got to launch HIMARS into Crimea. What is absolutely necessary is that Russian oligarchs and the other sadists who run that country say, we're destroying our own country, Russia. This has got to stop. The only way out of it to save any face is to kill Putin, and I think kill Yevgeny Prigozhin, the head of the Waffen SS, the Wagner Group, and to have somebody else come in and just sort of strut around and say, you know, this isn't going well, and let's have Russia restored. But we are coming to a point, all this talk about, what, a settlement? It's not possible with a trapped rat. It's not possible with a trapped Hitler. I want the message to get out loud and clear to all the congressmen in the state, the senators in the state, the Democratic National Committee members of the state, the Republican National Committee members in the state. Get behind sending Ukraine F-15s. I'm not suggesting F-35s. There are state-of-the-art, but F-15s are better than anything the Ruskies have. Get them shorter ship missiles. Clean out the Black Sea. Clean out the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov. But there's sadism going on. There's genocide going on. There's a destruction of a country, and if people in 1942 or 43 had seen this going on, they did see it going on, and many of them turned the other eye. They would have bombed the rail lines to stop people being shipped to the death camps by the Nazis. This is a Nazi regime. This is a regime that sided with Hitler in 1940 in the accord, where the non-aggression accord, the compact, where they both decided they'd divide up Poland and all of Eastern Europe. And then Hitler betrayed Stalin with Operation Barbarossa, invaded Russia. Russia is a Nazi nation. Russia has accomplished nothing since the 19th century. Yes, I like Tchaikovsky, but he's not Mozart. Yes, I like Pushkin, but he's not Shakespeare. He's not even Edgar Allan Poe. I'm not denigrating these artists, but that's the best they could do in 125 years, and otherwise they export sadism, genocide, and fraud. They've got to be eliminated as a nation. I'm not suggesting nuclear war, but right now we have terrific surrogates. Get them F-15s and get them plenty of HIMAR 180s. Start cleaning this rat's nest out. Cleaning this rat's nest out. A couple of other things that I want to get to quick before our next major topic. Fascinating, very, very fascinating. One of them, you know this guy, George Santos, Republican congressman from Staten Island, who lied about so many things, his own name, they're not quite certain what his name is, believe it or not. He signed a guy electronically as his treasurer. The guy said, hey, wait a minute, I'm not his treasurer. That's a little bit gutsy. It's one thing to be fraudulent on your finance reports, which I don't condone, it's a terrible thing, but it's a very stupid thing to forge a guy as your treasurer and think they aren't going to find out. The other thing the guy does is, he said his mom died several times. Once she was bombed in 9/11. Then she died of cancer in 2015. I mean, you don't just say these things. Then he says this crime in New York. They said, all right, give us an example. He said, I was walking down Fifth Avenue at 3 p.m. and I was mugged and a guy stole my shoes. The interviewer goes, they stole your shoes on Fifth Avenue at 3 p.m. and nobody noticed? You didn't tell the cops. This guy is crazy. He's flat out crazy. Well, good news. He finally, under pressure from, I suppose, the Republicans, said he won't serve on any House committees till he's exonerated. He withdraws from the committees. McCarthy appointed him a few committees. Why did he do that? Because Santos voted for him for Speaker, and he has so few extra votes, he needs Santos. But I think what happened is the Republican Party in New York said, you are killing us. You're killing us. What you are doing is you're a punchline for every joke. He is now withdrawn from the House committees. These committees he was on, by the way, were not very powerful committees. No one cares. I can't imagine what this guy's going through. The Justice Department just asked the Federal Election Commission to stop their investigation of him because the Justice Department has a criminal investigation of him. This guy is going to be criminally prosecuted, in my view, because he falsified his campaign finance reports. And he's dumb enough to even falsify the treasurer. Remember, he's the guy that said, well, I loaned $700,000 to my campaign. It came from my personal funds. They said, you defaulted on your rent. You don't have any personal funds. He goes, okay, I'm going to amend it. It wasn't my personal funds, but it was my money. All right? Where did it come from? I'm not telling you. You can't do that kind of stuff. What's amazing is that this guy got elected. Another thing that happened, if you thought Donald Trump didn't have enough lawsuits, Brian Sicknick's partner, the woman that he lived with, Brian Sicknick is the officer who was sprayed in the face with bear spray, beaten, ultimately died in a stroke because of that treatment. His partner filed a wrongful death action against Trump seeking $10 million. Let me give the explanation of that. What she puts in a complaint makes no difference whatsoever. Some states have stopped people putting in amounts in the complaint because journalists are misguided. They're misled and they report it and everybody goes, oh, that's a big suit. Some people put down $100 million. Some people put $100 billion. Doesn't matter, but it does show you the gravity with which his partner takes a look at this thing. We're going to the lines. Jake of Eureka, California, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Jake of Eureka, California.
Hey, man, I think I finally figured out what George Santos' real name is. And for the Seinfeld fans out there, you'll recall George Costanza, you know. And he doesn't know where he got this $700,000. Oh, just showed up on his doorstep. Oh, I don't know if it was $700,000 in American money or was it rubles from Russia. But it could have been that the Vandalay Corporation that George Costanza used to supposedly work for as a latex salesman, maybe he got $700,000 from the Vandalay Industries, possibly.
Yeah, that's, you know, I personally think that's very, very good, very funny. You know, I love Seinfeld, love George Costanza. I mean, great show. But I'll tell you what, I think Santos, in an odd way, is a symbol of the entire Republican Party. The entire Republican Party simply traffics in mendacity and fraud. You can't trust them with money. They are now threatening to shut down the government by not extending the debt limit, and which is not new spending. It's simply, hey, we already authorized spending. We issued bonds for it. But now you have to ask our permission to pay off the bonds. Let me tell you something. The full faith and credit of the United States should never be put in doubt. When you issue a bond, you pay it. That is solid. They can take that to the bank. And these clowns now, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in the next segment, these clowns are now saying, we're going to vote for the money. We're going to boast to our constituents about the money and the bridge and the airport and this, that, and the other thing. We're going to issue bonds for it. Investors in good faith, including pension funds, will buy those bonds, expecting a return. It's a very low return. Because it's just solid, you know, 1%, 2%, 0.75%, 4%, you know, whatever. But now we're going to vote not to pay off on them and let them eat them. And then what? You're not going to pay. Right now, Yellen can't contribute to pension funds. 14th Amendment says that the full faith and credit of the United States, this part of our Constitution, shall not be impaired. And it talks about pension funds. And the Republican Party is violating that. And the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court have overwhelmingly sided with the Republicans. We've got to take our country back. I'm telling you this. We got to take our country back. What is happening right now And I'll tell you what, George Santos is an example. I mean, he is the symbol of the fraudulent Republican Party. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire. The ring of fire. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to follow up on the debt limit issue, give you some new news about that. So the Republicans, in fact, McCarthy had to promise the right-wing nuts who pushed him over at the end for Speaker that he wouldn't raise the debt limit. If he raises the debt limit without cutting Social Security and Medicare, they will call the question, they will call the Speaker. Before, it took something like 50% of the Congress to do it. Now it can take one nut. It can take Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Gosar of Arizona, Matt Gaetz, or people of that ilk. Then what happens is you have all Democrats voting not to keep McCarthy because we don't like McCarthy. That's 213 votes. And then you have 222 Republicans, but if five of them just don't vote or say, no, they don't want him, he's no longer Speaker. And he's afraid of that. And if you take a look at Paul Gosar, Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, and a lot of these people, it'd be very easy to see them doing that. So what has the clown done? You know, and McCarthy, frankly, is a dunce. You know, I look at the guy, and this guy has no business being in Congress. He has no business holding a lot of jobs, even. The guy's bad news. Very bad news. So he huddles with a lot of Republican strategists, and they go, look at these polls, Kevin. West Virginia, 60% of the people rely solely or principally on Social Security and Medicare when they turn 65. 60%. Are they going to live in huts eating cat food like their grandfathers did in the 1920s? And they got scared. And so then he goes, okay, we're not going to insist on cuts to Social Security and Medicare for the debt limit. So the journalists say, okay, great. What is it you want cut then? And he wouldn't say. Well, they interviewed just yesterday Elise Stefanik. She's the number three Republican from upstate New York. Really bad news. This is one who'd been anti-Trump, moderate Republican, and then she decided that she would suck up to Trump, and she became Trumpier than Trump. She's just absolutely bad news. So they ask her the same question. And you know what she says? She says, well, we want to cut defense, but only the woke programs. Now, let's analyze it for a second. And look, Elise, I do not want to cut defense. As a former Democratic chairman, the reason that you are not in a burqa or a North Korean camp or invaded by Russia is because of our military, okay? And Elise, you did not serve in the military. So I want to hear you talking about how you want to cut defense because it's woke. You don't know what that means. You think the SEALs are woke? You think the Marine Corps is woke? You think that our troops that fought in Afghanistan, troops that fought in Iraq and Syria, or troops that fought in Vietnam are woke? You don't know what you're talking about. You're shooting your mouth off. You're full of hot air. But people that listened to it and talked about it afterwards, what she's saying is that anything in the Defense Department that tries to assimilate everybody in this country into the military is something she doesn't want. So at least you don't want women in the military? Because when I served, women were not in the military except as nurses. That was in the early 70s. You don't want African-Americans in the military? I'll tell you something. Back in the 1940s, African-Americans, it was Truman that integrated the military. Before that, they really weren't. Do you who don't you want in the military? Why don't you go in the military? Oh, what? It's dangerous? Yes, it's dangerous. The problem is they're lying. They don't want defense cut. They're afraid to say it. They frankly don't care what they cut. They would cut defense if they thought it would keep them in power. They do not care about the United States. But what they want is social programs, and the only social programs that have any heft to them that could be cut and that they have talked about cutting are Social Security and Medicare, and that's still what they want. So Biden has said, okay, I'll meet with McCarthy, and I think they're meeting tomorrow, maybe, in the White House. So McCarthy will strut up there, very proud, the dunce. He has a dull look in his eyes, and he will go into the White House and sit there. And Joe Biden's the most experienced legislator that has ever sat in the presidency. Why do I say that? Because he became a senator in 1972. He's going to sit there and look at this pigeon. Pigeon will go, McCarthy will go, okay, we'll raise the debt limit, but we want cuts. And Joe will say, fine, what cuts do you want? He'll say, I'm not going to tell you. Joe will say, well, if you're not going to tell me, how can I respond? And then McCarthy will go, you tell me what you'll cut. Joe will go, well, we like a lean budget. You won't agree to vote for a budget except an emergency at 5 p.m. to continue something for 90 days, which is a hell of a way to budget the biggest enterprise in the country, which is the United States government. You wouldn't do that at IBM. You wouldn't do that at Google. That's just bad accounting. So you got to tell me right now, I don't see anything to cut. But they'll say, well, we're not going to raise the debt limit. Okay, fine. What do you want to cut? I'm not going to tell you. Do you want to cut Social Security? No. You want to cut Medicare? No. He's lying, of course. That's exactly what he wants to cut. This Elise Stefanik, this little loudmouth who never served in the military, said that she wanted to cut defense. You want to cut that? Only the woke programs. Okay, what's a woke program? Well, how about blacks in the military? You don't want that? I'm not saying that. How about women in the military? You don't want that? I'm not saying that. So what's the woke? You tell me. This is what is going on with the debt limit of the United States when the 14th Amendment says that there should be full faith and credit given to the debt of the United States and include pensions. It requires the payment of pensions. Janet Yellen has stopped contributing to pension funds. Do you understand that? Federal pension funds, all pension funds. The last time they did this for 45 days, and the FBI and the Coast Guard didn't get paid. They want to defund the FBI. They don't want to pay them. They have put through a rule in the Congress, which isn't going to clear the Senate, but if Trump ever got in and the Republicans had the Senate, it would, where they can individually headhunt and target bureaucrats they don't like and cut their pay to a dollar. So if they don't like the head of the FBI, they'll cut his pay to the dollar. That isn't how you run an organization. This is not American government. This is commie government. This is the way commies operate, and it's not worthy of the Republican Party. Not the one I knew, Eisenhower and Lee Dreyfus and any of these people. This is commie government, and that is what we are descending to. But Joe Biden is skillful, and he is going to take care of Kevin McCarthy, and I think he should invoke the 14th Amendment. Here to the end of the show. Great show, great callers as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I didn't offer today.